There may be some bad language, adult themes, and other poor banter during the course of this podcast. If that's not for you, please turn off now.
Weaving everywhere, man. Weaving everywhere, man. See every friend swear, man. This is the Glasgow Fair, man. Weaving the Ryanair, man. Weaving everywhere. Weaving in Glasgow, Audubon, Chorzow, Vienna, Rio, Torino, Toronto, Valencia, Zurich.
Well, a very, very warm welcome back, as always, to the Beyond Hampden Park podcast. A spectacular spin-off from the ever-popular Beyond Canal Park podcast, where we focus our attentions pretty much exclusively on the Scottish national team, with varying degrees of emotion, success, tears and laughter. Joining me, as always, are the two faithfuls. First up, John McLeay, how are we doing tonight?
Good to be back after a wee hiatus.
And of course, Colin Brook. Colin, great to have you here in person. Without letting people behind the curtain too much, you're usually on Skype. How are you doing?
Great, good to be back. I finally got a wee international week.
Aye, looking forward to it. We're ready to rock with us, Pad Gads?
Yep.
Let's go.
Here we go. Well, that's good to be in the same room for once, doing one of these pods, isn't it?
It's a bit of a makeshift room, like, but it's good to be together.
Well, as I think I said to you in the week, unofficially, if we add Hampden Parks to the Canal Park episodes, this is the 99th pod that I've done. So, no bad concern the first team was doing for a laugh. Still plenty of folk tuning in, though, maybe just to laugh at our shite banter, like, but... This is the first team to be recorded at a Fife Lodge tonight, though. Cracking establishment in Banff, if you've not been down for a meal or a drink, get yourself down here. Cracking owner as well. Well, before we get a start, boys, I guess probably the June quadruple header, as it was. Games came thick and fast. Nay the best results for Scotland. Was it a blip? Were we tired? Or is it a sign we're not really that good after all, if it do we think?
It seems so long ago. When we started speaking about games in June, I thought it must have been like 6 months ago, but it's only been a few months then.
It
was a June to forget. Like for maybe, me, it was terrible.
Maybe we should record a pod after games. Well, wait so long to speak about.
You can't as bad when we forgot that they played Armenia twice just before we came on air.
Well, I looked at the group, the Nations League group, and I thought
we're flying. We're in second by 1 point.
It felt like such a bad.
Ireland gave us an absolute humping, and we're like two points clear of them.
Okay. I'm hoping. It feels like this is maybe a little fork in the road because we've kind of been until June on a bit of an upward trajectory, mm-hmm. and then obviously two wins against Armenia, but Mayor Humbling taken apart at home by Ukraine.
Aye.
At the end of the World Cup dream, and then Ireland just. It's a low point, I must admit. So do we sort of get back on it and hope that the 4-1 away to Armenia was actually us saying, right, that was just two games, we'll put them as sort of one game, sort of things can happen, you can lose games, which I guess we'll get into when we look at them, or is this a start? Because if we take a couple of hidings this week, then things are maybe not looking so rosy.
Ukraine threatening again here with Yarmolenko, the term provider this time. And Yurevchuk's header goes in, and Ukraine are 2-0 up.
Initial thoughts are the best team won the game. Disappointing for us, as you say. But sometimes the opposition play better than you, and that was the case tonight.
Were you surprised by Ukraine? They started very brightly and didn't fade as the match went on, did you?
No.
Were you taken aback by that?
No. It's what we expected. I knew they'd be well prepared, and they were well prepared. They're a good team. We didn't pass the ball well enough in the first half. And that's also a credit to Ukraine, the way they pressed us. They got on top of my two ball-playing midfield players, and we couldn't really get out. I decided to make a change at half time to try and address that and get another midfield player on the pitch and try and play through the lines. And before we have a chance to play with that system in the second half, we're two goals down. And from there, was a long way back.
Fair comments about that Ukraine sort of playoff semi. John, it was men against boys at times, I think.
Aye, I think getting into the game, it was probably the most confident I've been about a playoff game for a long time, just because of the form going into it, qualifying for the Euros.
War-torn country.
Their boys were just off the front line. It should have been a game that we won, and I don't know why we were so confident about it, to be honest, but we just looked so nervous at the, especially in the first half. It was, I think we handled the occasion very well. I think probably, again, Clark said in an interview there that he wasn't as surprised Ukraine got kind of were as good as what they were, but I think Abdi was kind of surprised by how good they actually played on the day, and Zinchenko for me was,
he ran a show, did he?
He looked world class, I thought, in that game.
Yep. They were better than us by a mile for the first mile. Hour. First hour, first half. Craig Gordon, I mean, he, let's be honest, he saved us a few times. I mean, if you're looking at their team compared to ours, just on the day, the only Scottish player that gets in their team's probably Gordon. their keeper did look pretty dodgy. fault for our goal. But they were, I thought, Zinchenko, as you've said, Yarmolenko, just an absolute nuisance up the top. He was really good. And they had the boy doing the left and doing the right, Tsigankov and Karavayev. They were just...
Who?
I didn't know, but they were...
You've been practicing that pronunciations all day,
the pronunciations.
Our Ukraine there. Listeners will be writing in.
Oh, the two boys doing either side were just brilliant, I thought.
But when you look at the teams on paper... It shouldn't have, like, us at home, it shouldn't have been 3-1.
Yeah.
And for me, it really highlighted how much we have been relying on Tierney.
Oh, definitely. Tierney. Yeah. Tierney's the main man. Like,
big miss. But we have we been in that situation under Clark where we have been expected to go out in such a big game, be favourites and try and get it over the line, manage that game? I mean... I'm not sure.
We have been in a position of favourites for a long time. Many years. We MD.
Yeah. But with it meaning such, you know, so much on the riding on the game. Yeah. I don't know, as John says, we didn't manage it well, but I think that is almost nae very fair on Ukraine. I thought they were just fantastic. They had a game plan and they did well.
There's nae doubt about it that Ukraine were, they were made up for the game. Obviously, the war probably went against
game
us,
boost, eh?
But they looked absolutely out in their feet against Wales.
I think Wales gave them a done.
Yeah, I actually think we would have gave Wales a better game than Ukraine gave them. But
it just shows you the craziness of this system, the playoff system. I don't know why they've decided that they have to have a draw to see who's at home in semis and finals. Why it has to be one leg, or they could easily play these games in a neutral venue and maybe even up just a bit. Maybe that's the idea.
And again, if it was COVID a factor in it, and
possibly, but they're not changing it now.
No, okay.
So it favoured Wales, I guess, is what I'm saying. The two home games, and yeah, I think they were always going to be favourites. But I think if we pick into us, I think we missed Tierney immensely. I think you see the first goal. Now, I don't know if it was a tactic, it was explained. Sometimes you didn't always go and try and win the ball back high up the park, but their defender gets the ball. There's nae attempt for Dykes or anyone to go and close it. Long ball over the top. Cooper's starting position is ridiculous. He's not even looking at the bar.
Nah.
One bounce, he's all over the shop. And then as soon as they let it bounce, Yarmolenko's so strong and he's in behind him. There's no way we're stopping him at that point. It was a great finish, I have to say. But
Cooper is so overrated. He's absolute gosh. Like, every time he's played for Scotland, I think he's been gosh.
He's never done it for Scotland, that's for sure. No. Again,
he never does it for Leeds. They shipped fucking loads of goals.
That's true.
Why isn't he playing? Just knew and Nardine will be a bit better.
American boys system.
I thought also, Kenny hasn't played a great deal under Clark due to injuries, but I think Ryan Jack instead of Gilmore could have made a big difference in that game for me. Gilmore was, you know, he, as Clark said, he's one of his ball players, wasn't able to get on the ball, and we missed that sort of defensive thing.
Not getting many games last year wouldn't have helped him either.
No.
I think, though, if Clark had dropped Gilmore for that game,
it
was beat 3-1 or whatever, I would have been in uproar.
Showed in the Ireland game. The boy, I'll talk about it a bit. Two of their goals come from us losing possession in midfield, being outfought, and the boy Obafemi coming short, he dinked it over for the second goal, and the same way he scored. I think Ryan Jack in there stops those happening potentially for me, but
or McTominay,
yep,
a holder of some sorts.
And my Gilmore, no space for him. Obafemi shoots.
Ireland deserved to win. We're on the front foot. We didn't cope with it, and we played poorly, and we lost.
Your captain said it was deserved. He said the fans had a right to boo at the end there, that they lost all their individual battles across the entire match. Do you feel let down by that when you hear that and you see that?
No, listen, this group of players have done fantastic for me, and have done fantastic for the country. We've had two big blows in the space of three games. Probably the first time in a long time that's happened to us. And I'm interested to see how we come back as a group.
I'm not sure why they did that interview in the Bath Academy Sports Hall, but it's a bit echoey. But Clark's sentiments there, I haven't heard the fans booing Scotland for a long time, eh? Even from where I got through some of our horrible periods that we've beaten. The sort of expectations are almost too high.
Ireland game, yeah, you couldn't avoid it. That it was both barrels the crowd were giving him after that game, and long before the final whistle, I have to say.
The only time I've been totally gutted if we had a wedding to go to instead of going to the game.
I was sitting at a wedding and the mother of the bride was giving my score updates. I couldn't believe it. Like,
and, as long as that was her, she was giving you.
In hindsight, I'd probably maybe rather have swapped places with it.
But I think when you looked at the Irish team
embarrassing to that result.
It was probably the worst Irish team I've ever seen.
Is that paper. Though? I'm hoping.
I thought Obafemi was Nigerian. Didn't he play for Newcastle?
Boy, Martin.
He's 62. I am hoping that was one of those games where the first goal made a difference. It was down to individual errors. Because Scotland started pretty well. We had a couple of wee chances. We had a good chance to equalise at 1-0. But individual errors. So for me, I watched them back again today. The corner for the first goal, Jack Henry loses his man. And then it's Henry and McKenna at back post against two Irish boys. McKenna doesn't even get off a grun. So Henry's chasing shadows. McKenna doesn't even get off a grun. The header bobbles across the goal and eventually finds its way into the net.
Mm-hmm.
Hanley does a Superman impression trying to dive it. It doesn't get fucking anywhere near it. And the second goal, Ralston, he sees what's happening. There's two different things. Ralston sees what's happening. He tries to pass his man on to Henry. Henry's not interested, eh?
No.
Henry's like in no man's land. He's like a rabbit in the headlights. And as that boy's making a run in, you look up again. Carl McGregor standing 5 yards off that boy Obafemi, who's coming short. He had a lot of joy. And McGregor's jockeying him for 5 yards away, and he just takes all the time in the world, dinks it over, and that run where Jack Hendry and Ralston have lost the boy just comes in, and you're thinking, so that's two individual errors for me. And if we had scored first and maybe got a bit more confidence, maybe we don't get humped 3-0. But
we had a lot of the bar, looking at stats, we had a lot of shots on target, but we had a few shots.
It's an embarrassing result, really, shocking. For far we want to be and far Ireland are at the moment.
It is
a shite result.
It's all right, can I say, and Ken McKenna and that didn't play well, but I think McGinn and Robertson looked absolutely out in their feet in
with a bunch of
games.
That was the third game of four. I guess there's a long season missed them. A quadruple header in June is a fucking nightmare.
Robertson, he was done.
Other teams had four games, did they, other than us in Ukraine?
Robertson basically lost the league, lost the Champions League, lost the World Cup playoff. He was done.
Had a massive sesh. He's getting slated for that, wouldn't he?
You can't blame him.
He's still at the start of the season, you can see him. He's getting subbed every game until he got injured. He's still struggling a bit, I think.
But I guess I don't really want to dwell too heavily on that Ireland game. Hopefully we repay the favour with a fresh team on this time. But that result was obviously sandwiched by a bit of paper roller cracks against Armenia. 2-0 win at Hampden. Ralston and McKenna, wasn't it? And then
yes.
4-1 away, as a spike going, dude, 1-0, and I just thought, oh, tell no, you. Here we go again.
Went 2-1-0, and they got a boy sent off.
If it wasn't for the boy,
the hairy boy.
Absolute. Well, he was the same boy.
I thought Fellaini played for Belgium.
I bet that boy got sent off for throwing a mappy, and he was a nutter. He was the same boy that threw a water bottle at a linesman or something like that. The home game. He's an absolute heat case.
Good to see Armstrong in a couple of goals, though, just for squad depth, even. Will he hear a claim, do you think?
Coming off the back of that? When I start, I just think...
I think it helps that he seems to be a bit part player for Southampton, just saying.
See, before we get on to the good bits of that game and clutching at straws, can we just say, before the red card, that Hanley and Hendry were scaring the absolute shit out of me. I've never seen anything like it. Honestly. See, yeah, we're at quadruple header. Jack Hendry, I was quite confident that he was growing into
something. He got his big move to Bruges, but he's away somewhere else now, is he?
Cremonese. So Serie A, he's playing in Serie A. But
the very bottom.
He was Serie A. The two of them was like Laurel and Hardy at the start of that Armenia game away for him.
Hanley's went for being a bit of a rock for us to be in.
Back to his normal, back to usual.
A pebble.
He had a great 9 months, didn't he? Or a Euros and that, just before, just after. But
I think for happens, every time Norwich go into Premier League, he loses that confidence.
Championships
at that level of player at all. But
And he's obviously out the squad, didn't he, as well? We'll come to that.
Yep.
Did you say to me, Brutty, you heard some of his Steve Clark saying that he thought this was the first time in that quadruple header that the team hadn't progressed any at all.
Yeah, he said that it's the first time since he's been manager that he felt they had sort of stopped and hadn't progressed. And he's challenging the squad to pick it up and go on again. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating because if you think back to the high when we pummeled Denmark 2-0, and it was a pummeling. We were brilliant.
There was a couple of good performances in about that kind of time.
And I just hope we're not looking back at that in a year, 18 months' time. Clark's no longer a manager, and that's the peak. That would be really disappointing. It'd be a bit of an anticlimax. But it's him, he's a manager, and I'm glad he spotted it. He didn't just say, oh no, these things happen, you know, we've maybe had with previous managers.
Easy to blame it on tiredness.
Yeah. He said, no, that wasn't good enough. We're going to pick it up and we're going to get going again. This is a big crunch week, I think.
I think it is. And I think the upcoming games, obviously, Ukraine at home tomorrow, Ireland at home on Saturday, and then Ukraine away in Poland on, is it Tuesday?
Tuesday. you're flying out, do you think? Again, what do you fly?
I think we need 7 points, if we're going to win it. We pretty much need seven.
Seven qualifies, seven wins a group.
Three gets a second, which is more realistic. Beat Ireland, we're pretty much guaranteed second, aren't we?
Aye, if we beat Ireland, but I mean, 3 points means we've probably lost twice to Ukraine, which...
It's very doable.
Very doable, quite likely. I think we'll maybe get 4 points at this window is my take, but... Even that would feel like a bit of a crap week.
We touched on it earlier, John, but you look at a table and it's actually not bad reading. We've
just a point behind Ukraine.
We're a point behind Ukraine. We're two ahead of Ireland and we've played a game less than Ireland as well.
Yeah. I had to look it up because I just thought we were...
It was doom and gloom a bit because that first Ukraine game wasn't a part of the Nations League, right. So it's a bit deceiving, but... it's all to play for. It's in our own hands. Who knows? I think 7 points would be a stretch. Like
7 points, but I think the away game maybe suits us a bit more. That's our kind of thing under Clark. It's the pressure is can we?
It's helped
get
us
two
that
home wins.
That Ireland managed to get a draw, didn't they? Ukraine, but then they got beat by Armenia. So it's helped us. There's been a mix in. I guess we've got in the bogey Armenia out of way, so if we can concentrate on getting that 1-0 at Hampden against Ireland, then we're a right shoot.
Two 1-0 wins, perfect. We go over there and we're like, all we need to do is get a draw. I mean, it's not beyond us. It's looking after the last games unlikely, but it's not beyond us.
They need to win the game the more, and if they lose that, then it kind of
puts us in the driving seat. If Ukraine playing in the... They got Armenia.
They've got one to play Armenia. Away to Armenia, but
you never know.
Is Zinchenko, is he out or is he in the squad.
Yeah, Zinchenko's out for all their games, I believe.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, I mean, he's just stopped keeping Tierney out the Arsenal team. Well,
Tierney's played the last few games for Arsenal. Yeah, so.
Which is that's good. Good time for us, yeah.
But I watched that Arsenal doc. I've been watching that, the All or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Tierney comes across quite well on it. Like, as a guy and as a... He played through then, he played... Something like, I just watched Ian this morning. He played like five games with a fucked knee or something.
And then he's been out for
ever since.
Maybe
you can tell. You can tell on Arteta's face when he's seeing. He's like, this boy is made of glass. Like, and he is really, isn't he?
Well, that's why he's went and got Zinchenko.
Aye, because he can't sit here, and he's probably only worth half a season.
I mean, I hope that Zinchenko would play midfield and and Tierney would still play. I think he'll still play plenty of games. Tierney, he's too good to play.
A great start to the season for Scottish players. If you look, some are big players, Robbo's getting hooked every game, and then he's got injured. He's out. Tierney coming back from injury, he's no first choice in his position anymore. They brought somebody in, and you're thinking, oh.
And Gilmore didn't get a bloody squad number at Chelsea.
And then the manager
signed him and fucked off to Chelsea.
It's almost like he was like, get him out the squad before I arrive at Chelsea. And who else?
Even Shea McGinn. I think McGinn's been coming in for a wee bit of stick for the Villa. Well,
the captain's killed him. He's been made a captain.
The curse of the captaincy. Yep.
He certainly plays a completely different role for Villa than he does for Scotland. He plays as a number eight, more traditional number eight
for Villa.
Yep. Yeah, but as he tends to play as a attacking midfielder,
further forward for Scotland, it seems to work for him for us.
Shea Adams and Dykes have both been in and out.
Adams got a goal last week, did he?
He scored a few, but like you say,
they've signed that Italian boy who's meant to be the next big thing and spent a big chunk of money on it. So I think they're just chucking that Italian boy in. It has to work. Made that signing, so.
We'll probably come to our preferred 11s later on in the show, but just looking at the squad as a whole, is there any surprises in that squad at all for any of Porteous? I know that you two aren't really a fan and you probably have something to vent about that because he's a bit of a roaster.
Just like to say that Andy Considine should probably be considered that for him.
Did you shed a little tear for Stephen O'Donnell?
That's disappointing. I have to say he's... I'd imagine it was done the right way by Stevie Clark. He's been a great servant for Clark and he's always put himself on the line for Scotland.
Can that phone call, Stephen, you've had 40 caps too many. You're no longer in my squad.
Let's be honest, he's probably done now.
He was done before he started. be fair to O'Donnell, you're not going to refuse the call. You know what I mean?
No.
He tried his best. It was just... It's pish.
Best wasn't very good.
He had some cracking games.
But after the Ukraine game, I think there was a few of us saying, really surprised that O'Donnell didn't play.
Well, it's the thing, Hickey was like a rabbit in the headlights. He did settle down eventually, but and obviously, like most modern young fullbacks, he was out-jumped and out-battled for the second goal. The boy got above him, head that in, and it is a thing when you play that kind of formation with those young attacking boys, their defending's near the best. Same way Ramsey when he was at Aberdeen, and Trent Alexander, I suppose, another good example of that. That's pretty...
You were speaking in a group earlier this week, Brookie, I think it was you... You're a bit scared about our centre-back options and our shortage of centre-backs. We had Hanley out of squad new, obviously. It's getting closer to Porteous actually playing. That would be a disaster, surely.
He's just a bomb scare waiting to happen.
He's a penalty waiting to happen, or a red card waiting to happen. He's just...
teeing up a new O'Donnell since he's in the squad.
He's not the most intelligent laddie. I don't know how best to put it. That's probably... And I think that sort of transmits onto the pitch and stuff. He's obviously a good athlete and he's obviously got some good things about his game, but he's just... I always seems to be... And off the park, he's obviously had a few things in recent times as well, but he's just seems like a
shite Pepe.
I hope he matures and turns into a great player. Delighted.
I'm surprised that, I mean, and I watched Aberdeen's games, but I've been at a couple, and McCrory, I was dis okay, he's steady, he's nae Scotland level for starting, but in terms of getting in the squad, because I'm not even sure he's a centre half.
He's defensive mid, that's what he's best.
I'd rather hate him than Porteous, but yeah. When you look at a squad, the three recognised centre-halves are Hendry, McKenna and Porteous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, obviously, probably
McTominay will come in. Yeah.
Got McTominay and Tierney that will be makeshift in that three at the back, but that's a really, really poor three centre-halves. Like,
I've got a list here.
Ukraine, I'll be mouth-watering at that. Prospect at that. Like.
I've got a list here of other defenders that played in Nations League games since it started, so until now. So I'll just run through them in any particular order. So we've got McKenna, Hendry, Tierney, Robertson, Hanley, Cooper, Greg Taylor, Stevie O'Donnell, Ralston, Mulgrew, John Souter, who's made a biscuitsy suit again, Graham Shinney, David Bates, Declan Gallagher, Liam Palmer, Considine Porteous,
Palmer,
Paul Hanlon,
Nathan
Patterson and Aaron Hickey. That's all the defenders we've used.
Who can forget Shinney's left-back performance against Kazakhstan? Oh dear.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So, but then you'd rule a couple of the betterines out with injury, and you're
Well, we had pretty much given up on McTominay as a defender, and
we thought we had options.
Again,
we thought we had plenty of options.
And when I got our captain playing either, obviously, he's ruled out of this. Even if, Ken, you've got young defenders, an experienced boy like Robertson could help to talk him through games, we're not going to hear that either.
Regardless of form and how he's been playing or not been playing very well, you want Robertson in the team every game, kind of.
Sure.
I think if nothing else, him being on the pitch, other teams look at it and think, Liverpool player.
Well, that's it.
Regardless how he's playing. And him and Tierney have just got a great connection on the left.
For that two play together, that game's were played well, hasn't he? No surprise Tierney was playing, and him and Robertson's link-up plays our biggest weapon.
Tierney's our best attacking player, in my opinion, when him and Robertson are on that left side.
Ken, you mentioned before we came on, John, goalies starting, or has been a wee problem for a while. That's obviously Dave Marshall retired now as well.
Yeah, that was a little bit unexpected.
Did you see Craig Gordon? I was watching the highlights at weekend and he was doing hudding his knee. Oh fuck, get up, get up.
No, I never noticed.
That's next in link is McLaughlin pulled out his squad. Right, so that's Liam Kelly
and
Bobby McCrory.
And he's never played he's played one game for Rangers.
Aye.
In a league. And it's
the boy McLaughlin.
Xander Clark, McLaughlin.
Boy Clark, he wanted him this season for ages. How did he end up?
He's somewhere in the championship. Was it Ipswich or something?
He's good for a goal every now and then. Is that the end of the beard? Just scored a header.
Goalie's a problem, and there's no anything coming through to suggest that it's going to get much better.
That's the thing. There's two things happening here. We're starting to see some holes appearing in a couple of key areas in the squad, goalie and defence.
Defence has been ropey for a long time.
I would have been quite happy to see the young lad for Celtic come into the squad. The boy, is it Welsh?
Welsh.
Mm-hmm. Welsh. He's played in a few Champions League games. It doesn't necessarily mean he's ready for international football, but
surely Max are more ready than Porteous.
I would have thought he must have been with a shout. So you've got that holes appearing, but then you've got the emergence of some brilliant young players like Hickey and Patterson and stuff. And
it's just
Gilmore.
Frustrating that they are playing similar positions.
Yeah,
like the players that are coming through are playing in positions where we're fairly strong.
That can fit. There's a boss producing the fullbacks. I knew like
well. It used to be we couldn't have produced fullbacks.
Except Alan Huttenfeld was fantastic.
It's awesome to film his face.
we touched on, we've got some of our better players out of form, but one player Clark's been enjoying is Nathan Patterson.
I think I was always quite clear in my mind that if Nathan got the chance to play at Everton, he would grab that chance. I think he's a big player for his club now, and that's great to see, because he's been a big player for his country for a little while and probably playing more football for his country than his club, so it's nice that he's got that role. Everton seems to have nailed it down. Playing in the English Premier League week in, week out can only improve Nathan, which is good for Nathan, Everton and of course Scotland.
A player with bags of potential. we saw do well for Scotland. Went off the boil a bit when he first went to Everton. Great to see him back playing regularly and obviously impressing Dunier as well.
Aye, no, he's taking his chance at the start of this season. I think the injury not long after he went down didn't help, and I'm not sure Coleman was ever going to come out at the end of that relegation scrap. But and Coleman was out at the start of the season, but he is back now, and Parsons keeping him out of the team. So you kind of, every time I've seen him play, I've thought he's been decent. He offers something going forward, and I think just that experience at that level, kind of fault. We need players of that quality, and
that's it.
Yep. No, I agree. I'm excited to see him.
First choice over Ralston.
I was going to say, I assume he's going to play. But Ralston did okay apart from the...
He got a goal, didn't he, against Armenia in one of the games.
But if he kind of nailed down a starting position for Celtic, because he doesn't play every game in Ralston.
No, he doesn't,
Then that tells me something.
Yeah, I think Patterson will start.
Interesting that Hickey's been playing right back for Brentford, eh? I thought he looked totally out of his depth, right back. Well, he was wing back again.
Occasionally it got to him, and he didn't have played many Scotland games. No. Was that his first start against Ukraine?
I think it was.
Aye.
Certainly one of his first two. So,
and then before we move on for the squad, obviously another talking point, Ryan Fraser is back, and we expected him to be back. I think when we spoke last time, he kind of got punished last time by being left out, didn't he? But we expected him back in. Is that a good call for Clark? Has he got a part to play? Are the fans going to accept him back?
I think yes and yes. I think there's enough water under the bridge there. I think Clark probably handled it the best way he could. But it's up to Fraser now. If he gets his chance on the pitch, he's got to take it. We're setting the world on fire. Guys like Dykes and Adams and that in their own sort of club form. So
we're not blessed with a depth of good players.
And Christie is another one who's not been playing a huge amount. In
he does tend to start Christie, but he gets hooked every game. Yeah. Came off at half time a couple of times. And Fraser is the only real winger in the squad, but we didn't play with wingers. So I'm not sure.
We have seen him play well at off a striker as well for Scotland.
Yeah, home to the Czechs, that was really good. He scored that early goal.
I think ultimately he needs to produce early.
Yeah.
Aye.
And if he gets a chance, which I'm not sure he definitely will.
Surely get some chance over the three games though.
Yes.
Depending how the games go, I would imagine Adams will...
It'll be Adams and...
Somebody.
It'll be either Fraser or Christie. I don't think Adams and Dykes worked against Ukraine. So in the first game, I'd fancy it'll be Christie or Fraser. We Adams, probably Christie.
Well, we'll come to our probable 11s later on. Fans of main qualifying draw for the Euros?
Next month.
So yeah. Do we think we're going to be in the playoffs through the Nations League? Yes or no?
No.
That's three no's in. I think we'll finish second, but I think we're only going to get the 3 points, but I think we'll end up finishing second behind the Ukraine. I think Ukraine will probably beat us home and away, if I'm being brutally honest, but as we usually are, I hope I'm wrong. Okay, right, let's move on to the new sort of feature. It's challenge time again. Brookie took the point from me last time out, so I really need the win tonight before I have to set the challenge on the next pod. Did we come up with a prize or a forfeit for the end?
Wait till we see who loses.
I can't imagine if we did that, but we'll maybe need to set like three each before we decide for the winner is. We need a good run at it, especially because I'm behind. So this might rumble on for a while, folks, but play along at home. Is it play alongable at home?
Yeah, get a pen, a bit of paper, I suppose, and we'll go through the questions, and then I think we'll do the answers further on.
Later on, before the end, okay. So it's me versus John here, but they can play along at home and let us see how you got on. Okay. Yeah. Over to you then, Brookie, what have you got in store for us?
Okay, so it's just a Nations League quiz, given it's Nations League week. So there'll be some Nations League questions in general, and there'll be some Nations League sort of Scottish
questions. How many questions did you say there was?
I've got 10 questions.
Right, let's fire through it quick.
Okay, right. Okay, so question one.
John's looking at my answers.
He's better. He can almost see my laptop. He might be looking at my answers.
Turn it round, cheating.
Can't read you,
right? Right, go on then.
Okay, We're now in the third Nations League tournament. Name the first two winners of the Nations League. And you only get 1 point for getting both. If you don't get both, you get 0 points.
You need to get both.
Sure. Quite confident.
Okay.
No, that's good. John was quick with the answers there. All right. Okay. Question two. Along the similar lines, can you name the two third place teams from the first two tournaments?
Third place. Who cares?
Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay. To date in the Nations League, only two teams have gained successive promotions and are now playing in their third different league level. Can you name either of them? You get a point for both.
Just need one.
You just need one for a point, but if you name two, you'll get 2 points. So who are the two teams that have played in three different league levels of the Nations League?
Is that through promotions or does relegations count?
It's up to you, but if they've played in they've played in three different league levels, so there's only two of them.
If they ask Scooby, like, doesn't help.
Just a guess.
No. Okay, good. All right, question four. Four teams qualified for Euro 2020-21 through the back door of the Nations League playoffs. Scotland were obviously one of them. Can you name the other three? You get a point for each.
Not a clue.
As we clue here, Northern Ireland were really hard done by right at the death in one of the finals.
That should help, but it
doesn't help.
Right, okay. So Mayor Scotland, sort of theme deans now. In the first Nations League 2018-19 campaign, in which Scotland topped a group including Israel and Albania, then going on to qualify through the playoffs, who was Scotland's top goal scorer in that Nations League campaign? And I'm quite happy to give a bonus point if you tell me how many goals he scored.
Actually, I think I can, I seen.
Yeah. Okay, question six. Scotland qualified after a nail-biting penalty shootout away to Serbia. Amazingly, we scored all five penalties. Mm-hmm. Name the five goal scorers, a point for each.
Oh, Jesus.
Question seven. Right, this seems reasonably difficult, so if you get within three of the right answer, you'll get a point. Okay. In the Nations League, so the first two Nations League and the third one that we're halfway through, how many individual Scotland players have played some part in a Nations League match since it began? So not including those playoff games, we've played 13 fixtures to date in those three Nations Leagues. How many players have played in any part of a match? That's either from the start or off the bench. How many individual players?
You already listed 20 defenders earlier on, didn't you?
Didn't necessarily mean that they all played.
I thought you said they did.
Just a guess. Stab in the dark.
Okay. Seems like the squad selection was maybe the same. Okay, question eight. Which player has appeared in the most Nation League matches for Scotland with 12 appearances in 13 matches?
It's probably O'Donnell.
Okay, question nine. Right. This thing's going to take you a while, so you might have to come back to it, but it's
we'll
a thinker.
We'll hate to cut down the time on the pod to think right. Time.
Czech Republic 1 versus Scotland 2, September 2020, in the Nations League. Remember the COVID-ridden squads? Mm-hmm. Name the starting 11 for Scotland. You got a point for each player.
That's a tough quiz. But it was just the semi-finals, man.
This was just in Nations League.
I think we should let Brookie do a game again.
This is good. This is why you get the answers later.
I hope he's just turned off. That'll do.
Okay. Right. And the final question, number 10. To date, since the inception of Nations League, who is the all-time top goal scorer? And you get a bonus point for how many goals?
For Scotland or for?
For in the Nations League, for everyone. So who scored the most goals, and a bonus point if you get the correct amount of goals.
Okay, Brookie, good quiz. We'll get do the answers a wee bit later.
I will do them later, give and the listeners a bit of time. Yeah.
Check their answers, okay. Fits then, I've got here starting 11. Fit, we think we're going with then. If it would be, I've got mine down here.
Okay.
The easiest decisions, Gordon
and goals. I don't think anybody's going to argue about that, are they?
Yeah, so is this teams that we want to start?
This is for, I would hope. Full backs, wing backs, whatever you call it. Parson and Hickey for me.
Yeah.
Two young snap guns.
Yep, I had that as well.
No argument for Taylor?
No, but I could see him playing.
Is Ralston unlucky, maybe? No? But Parson, shoo-in.
Kenneth, if we'd got some sort of result in Ireland and Ralston had now presided over. I think Hickey is straightforward for us, but I think for Clark, Hickey versus Greg Taylor wouldn't be as easy.
Be
for
a dilemma.
It will be a dilemma because Greg Taylor's waited his turn. He's done pretty well when he's been called on, which hasn't been much, but he's turned up to every squad. So I don't think that's as straightforward as we would make it.
Who we got at the back? I'm thinking it's going to be Hendry, McKenna, and Tierney.
I think it'll possibly be McTominay, McKenna and Tierney.
I've got that as well, John. McTominay, McKenna, Tierney.
Would possibly sub out McKenna, to be honest, for Hendry, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. Will he play two lefties in there? Mm-hmm. Who knows?
McKenna's a donkey.
He's in a tough start to the Premiership
season.
He's
like Hanley, isn't he? Like, in the Prem, he just weighed his depth, I think.
Yeah, but I've seen signs of him, and he's always a good threat. I would say he's good at defending set pieces, but didn't do that against Ireland. He was stuck to the ground. But I think McTominay, McKenna, Tierney
We didn't speak about McTominay, but McTominay has probably been the surprise at Man United that he's kept his place, even since Casemiro's came in at United to play for the next 3-4 games, and he's looked decent.
He has looked decent since Alex came in.
He's still near right centre half, but I still think he might end up playing there. But
yeah, I think so. Clark clearly trusts him, but I think McTominay's getting a bit of a hard time for the Man United fans. I thought pretty unfair, a lot of it.
Is he? I thought they were loving him at the start of the season.
I think they're warming to him again. But I think they see him new for fit he is. He's just a fetching carrier, and he's not going to be anything more. But I think I might play him in midfield against Ukraine. Wee McGregor and possibly Gilmore. McGinn playing off Adams. That would be my kind of thoughts. Possibility for Jack to play if McTominay's in the defence.
Jack, McGregor, McGinn for me. That's my three in the middle, I think.
We need a bit of strength in there for sure against Ukraine.
I kind of see Gilmore. I didn't think Gilmore will start.
I've got him in the team. I'm not sure. I'm just what I think might happen. But if McTominay's not playing at the back, he's playing in midfield, and he would definitely play before Gilmore.
Before Jack? Because Stephen Clark mentions
for
Jack.
Rangers, hardly.
He mentions him every time. He mentioned him in that one yesterday. It's great to have Ryan Jack back.
Mm-hmm. McGregor's probably
McGregor's a shoe.
McGregor and McGinn will play.
McGinn will play some way. I think he'll probably... he tends to play like a 3-4-3 almost. Really, it's a 3-6.
Isn't he allowed in the opposition box? Closed his eyes and missed that header for 2 yards. Donkey.
Adams leading up these line.
Adams and I've got Christie.
I've got Christie off him. Yeah.
Okay.
Dykes didn't work against Ukraine for me. It does work against other teams, but it didn't work against them.
There could be argument for Christie or Fraser, but I think Fraser will come straight back in the starting lineup.
No. I think you're right about Gilmore against Ukraine. It's probably not the most suited game.
But I can see Clark playing him. I can see Clark's playing him, even though...
But I think the Ireland game would be one for Gilmore.
Clark himself, after the Ukraine clip earlier, said the midfield ball player thing just didn't work. Yep. They never got a chance to play with the new systems we're 2-0 doing, so it maybe goes with a bigger, stronger kind of lad in there. Gilmore gets sacrificed maybe for the next game.
If he had the defenders fit, though, McTominay would have almost certainly played midfield, I think, this game. But.
Aye. Okay. Definitely be changes for Ireland, I would say, regardless. I suppose it depends on the result, but you see the likes of Ralston, Jack, Fraser, Christie coming in for that team. Keep it fresh.
Depends for plays. I think Gilmore will play the Ireland game if if the midfield hasn't been great.
I think it depends on the result. If we somehow manage to beat Ukraine tomorrow, he's thinking, wow, if we manage to beat Ireland,
we're in.
We are a serious contention here. So
it all depends on this game at Moen, really, isn't it?
If we didn't win it,
we're done, really.
Yeah,
chances are done. A draw's not enough at Hampden.
But we'll probably need a result in each game.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think he'll make too many changes against Ireland if we go and win tomorrow.
But that's it. If we don't win the morning, we're pretty goose.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure about Fraser, but he's an 18-minute squad, and he gave him some game time, and I could see him being one for Ireland, like just a wee bit more creativity.
Completely agree. Anyone in that squad, he'll select them if he thinks they're going to do a job for a team. And for me, up with Adams, it's Christie or Fraser, but I think Christie, because Christie, actually, when he came on against Ukraine, I thought he was a bit of a bright light.
Mm-hmm. He's good. I think he's good coming off at bench, Christie. Like, yeah. Bring a bit of freshness and passion.
Yep.
And the other thing, I suppose, we've touched on Armstrong, but we maybe did earlier. Scored two goals in the last game.
This brilliant goal, the second game. Absolutely brilliant. We adjusted his bodies. He was slipping to make sure he got in there for a defender. It was brilliant. So
but Armenia are pretty gash, really, on the whole, weren't they?
Well.
You said earlier, do you think that if by somehow we get 6 points at that first couple of games, or even the 4 points, does going into an away game in Poland against Ukraine suit us almost with the style that we're going to have to play to get a result?
I think that definitely. That's a kind of bread and butter. I mean, nobody would give as much a chance going to Serbia in the playoff final, but it's that kind of game. It suits us.
And it's not really a home match for Ukraine either.
No. Yeah.
No, although there'll be a lot of Ukrainians in Poland, I would think. But I think it allows us to go and defend, and they have to be the ones that tick the game to them, which probably suits us a wee bit better.
Again, it's that thing, come back to Scotland, they always seem to keep us in with a slight chance right till the end. So even if it's we go with 4 points for the first two games, so maybe draw against Ukraine, beat Ireland, knowing that if we manage to win away against Ukraine, we'll qualify. I can see that being the scenario, because that's generally how we do stuff, and then we'll get get our arses filled over there. But
I ken your logic, but there's also some campaigns from the World Well out of it. Levine.
Yes.
Maester Strachan.
Well, we rarely ever get these right either, but what's your score predictions for the three games?
I'm going to say Scotland 3, Ukraine 1. Total reversal. I'm going to say Scotland 1, Ireland 0. And then I'm going to say 0-0 away in. I've just predicted us to get through, but we're in.
I think.
I didn't think we'd qualify, but okay.
I can see it being 2-0 Ukraine and 1. We'll beat Ireland 1-0, and then we'll be another 2-0 to Ukraine away. 3 points, second
so
place.
We've got the optimist, then that was the realist.
Well, I'm always optimist in any of our works.
I'm going to go for a draw tomorrow at Hampden. I think it'll be 1-1. I think we'll edge Ireland, probably 2-1.
So I'm just saying, get 1-0 on at the bookies against Ireland, that's what we're saying.
2-1.
Oh, 2-1.
And then I think we might draw again in Ukraine, needing to win.
Yeah, when we're already...
Yeah.
That can happen.
Okay, before we get the quiz answers, Brookie, there was something that I just read randomly from doing a bit of research into Nations League and stuff for us.
Just the addition changed an answer on his page as well, you notice that?
No, because I just had a brainwave. South American
Google.
South American teams might be joining Nations League.
Yeah.
Honking. Good thing, bad thing?
Honking for Scotland.
Right, bad for us, definitely.
I mean, that's 10 other teams that are better than us.
Does that mean
much.
We can qualify for the Copa America?
Possibly. But it means Brazil can qualify for the Euros.
I think that'll possibly kill it a wee bit for
I'm
us.
I'm calling bullshit, and that's never happened.
I can't see it happening. It was like, if I was it called it, it was a Norwegian dude or something. It seemed like a random kind
of FIFA dude.
Aye, but I don't think it was like a high up kind of dude. it's a boy called Infantino or
Giovanni Infantino.
Sepp Blatter.
That's why he's sacked. Right, are you going to give us these answers in, Brookie?
Right, okay. Good luck. Let's see who takes the second in. Okay, right. So, who won the first two Nations Leagues?
Portugal, then France.
You got?
Portugal and France.
Good, that's a point for both of you there. Yep. Right, doing your points aside. So we can
just one point.
1 point for Ian, yeah.
Okay.
Tough, considering we're getting 11 for a Scotland.
Yeah. I thought that was a really easy question. I thought you should get it.
Fuck off, we're probably drunk that game.
Right, and who are the two third place teams for the same tournaments?
I'll go. I've got England and Switzerland.
You only got one of them.
England and Spain.
No, that was England and Italy.
Spain lost in the final to France, didn't they?
They both times.
So is that a 1 point for England?
That's
0 points.
It's 0 points.
Half point.
Zero. 0 points.
Nay, half point.
No, nay, half points.
You did both. Okay.
Tough guys. Right.
Okay, so Essien was a bit of a head scratcher. I liked Essien. That's good trivia, this. So, to date in Nations League, only two teams have gained successive promotions and played in three different leagues.
So I thought relegations were kicking.
You get a point for each one.
Well, that's why I try to clarify a question.
Oh, well, mine's goosed.
Well, listening's also a good idea. We did.
I'll put Serbia and Ireland because I thought they kept getting relegated.
Nothing.
I had Switzerland and Russia.
Zero.
Yeah. I thought Russia went.
Who was it? Two, like,
Hungary and Armenia.
I was going to say Hungary.
So Hungary went CBA and Armenia went DCB.
Mm-hmm.
That was 0 points.
0 points.
0 points for me and that.
Okay. So, question four. Four teams qualified for Euro 2020 through the back door of the Nations League playoffs. Scotland were obviously one. Can you name the other three? You got a point for each one you name correctly.
You going first?
Yep.
I had Italy, Wales and Latvia.
0 points.
I've got the Diddy team, North Macedonia.
Yes.
I thought...
He's got a few scorings.
Okay, because I'm going between two. I'll stick with Portugal.
No.
Slovakia.
Yes. 2 points, well done. Slovakia had an injury, extra time goal against Northern Ireland.
I seem to mind Portugal being in a playoff, but was that for the last team?
I think they maybe were, actually.
It was Hungary was the 13, just to clarify.
Okay. Top scorer in
the
next
scorer
team.
In the first Nations League campaign for Scotland
I think
was
it was James Forrest.
I've wrote
five goals
in brackets.
Oh, 2 points for James.
Ah, I wrote him at a side because he scored a hat trick mine again.
And he got a double in the next game or
so.
He had two games, he was flying. Yeah.
But I went safe and went for him again. But I wrote Forrest in brackets. I'm not claiming a point, but.
No, you're not getting any now.
The thought was there. Yeah.
Aye, well done. But I seen your face lit up with that in straight away.
That was his two good games for sure.
Right.
Aye, it was. What else have we got?
Penalty shootout is next against Serbia. We scored all five penalties. Can you name the five penalty scorers?
Well, one's easy. Kenny McLean. Got the last team, didn't he?
It's one.
I had McLean.
Yep.
I had Griffiths.
Yes. Scored the first team.
It's right. Dykes?
Nope.
McTominay?
Yes.
I've got McTominay.
Yep.
Kieran Tierney?
Nope.
McGinn?
Nope.
Oh, dear.
I had Robbo?
Nope.
Oh, well, I've only got two.
Okay. Great. So we were Griffiths first, then Callum McGregor was one.
Ah, McGregor.
Scott McTominay, and then this is Ian I didn't think MD would get. I wouldn't have got this. Ollie McBurney.
Oh, that's right.
Well, and then Kenny McLean put 15 in.
How close do we have to be for us players again?
Right, within three. Okay.
So it's, I think
anybody who's made an appearance for Scotland in the 13 Nations League games to date counts. How many players, how many different players have made it?
48.
Okay.
I've went 42.
50. You get a point, James.
Bloody hell.
Fantastic.
I came that we'd used 28 in this scene alone. So.
That's a great shout. Well done.
Okay. Next.
So which player has made the most Nations League appearances for Scotland out of those 13 matches, appearing 12 times?
Got to be John McGinn.
I went McGregor.
It is Callum McGregor.
Ah.
There's quite a few on 11 and 10, but he's only had made 12.
This is Ian that could win it or lose it.
Right, okay, so have you had enough time to go through this?
I've got an 11.
Good, okay.
I've got
so
11 names in.
Marshall.
No, hold on. Let me repeat the question.
Just also got Marshall.
So, September 2020, we played in the Nations League away to Czech Republic. This was a big COVID game when they put out a reserve side, a local Highland League side or something for the Czech Republic. What was the Scotland starting 11?
Marshall.
Correct.
Marshall. O'Donnell.
No.
Ah, I had O'Donnell as well. Robertson.
Yes.
Tierney.
No.
Oh, I had Tierney as well. McTominay.
Yes.
Hanley.
No.
Christie.
Yes.
Yes. McGinn.
No.
Oh, bloody hell.
Dykes.
Yes.
I've got Dykes. McGregor.
No.
Fuck off. Ryan Jack.
No.
Oh, my.
Last name I've got is Ryan Fraser.
No.
Fuck, Jesus.
There's some Weldings in here.
Cooper.
Aye, he played.
Bloody. How many did you get for that?
Nah, a lot.
I got five.
Five, same five. Yeah.
So here's so 11. Marshall, Robertson, Palmer.
Palmer.
McKenna. Cooper.
Oof.
Then we had McTominay, Fleck,
Fleck.
Armstrong, McLean, Christie, and Dykes.
Cha.
There you go.
Well, last question. Keep
last
it a decider.
Question. Yep. Who to date is the all-time top scorer in the Nations League since its inception?
You going?
I went Mbappe.
No.
Erling Haaland.
Correct.
11 goals.
Point, bang on, yep. 2 points right. He was Googling, wasn't he?
No.
Definitely.
I research, did, when you said Nations League quiz, I did some research earlier. That's top scorers. Was he scored six, and I think he's on five already for this team.
Yep.
Never even played in the first team.
Gains for the back of that boy. Like,
right, add them up, boys. Who's the winner this?
James won that.
15 for me.
15 for James.
10.
Oh, that's a trouncing.
It's good to get off the mark with a point because I'm setting the questions next time.
So that's
1-1-0.
It's a big match for you next time.
Big, big pressure. Well, boys, if you've got anything else to add, that's our hour up. I better get a lodge closed, get a residence to their bed.
That sounds really bad.
Have we got anything else to add?
Before no, I'll see you at 9 a.m.
I'll be picking you up in a few hours. Yes, yes. Okay.
We've
been everywhere, man. We've been everywhere, man. Seen every fun square, man. This is Glasgow Fair, man. We've been Ryanair, man. We've been everywhere. We've been in Glasgow, Butterbill, Charles. Well, thank you all for taking the time to tune in to us talking pish as usual. It means a lot to us that you continue to listen into the thousands. Scotland and international football is something we remain deeply passionate about, even as its importance seems to diminish in this money-driven Premier League, Super League era. This will also act as this week's Canal Park episode as well, so you're getting it a bit earlier than normal. I will be back with the second regular series episode of Season 6 the following week. Okay, enjoy the games, and hopefully we get the points we need to keep us in contention before the main qualifications start. Bye for now, John. Bye for now, John.
See you again.
And Brookie, I'll pick you up in a few years.
Yeah, see you soon, mate.
Bye for now.